Track 14, Neil's Last Word. Well, as I said earlier, I do hope that Neil is in a more Christmassy frame of mind at this point in the proceedings. Let's have your last word, Neil.
Santa buried his head in his hands. It was a week before Christmas. After carefully compiling a list of presents from all the letters and emails, the Grotto's IT system had been hacked and all the gifts jumbled with the addresses. Little Jenny in Walthamstow was going to get an action man, while mischievous Fred in Bootle was in line for a Barbie doll. The elves had been tasked with sorting it out, but they were already behind with gift wrapping. Santa wasn't surprised. The workshop was almost empty. Most of the militant bunch were working from home. They had raised a dispute with Santa through their union, the Associated Societies of Leprechauns, Elves and Fairies, or ASLEF for short. They had submitted a claim for more pay, flexible working and private health care. This was going to break Santa. With the rise in national insurance and the minimum wage, he had been forced to pass this cost on in the form of cheap imported toys. "I'm going for a pint at the Crooked Antler," he informed Mrs. Claus. "Well, don't be late," she replied. "I've got venison for our dinner." Santa winced when that was on the menu. Every time he went in the stables and saw the reindeer, he felt a pang of guilt. Santa ordered a pint of old Grotto Peculiar and took a seat by the roaring fire. "Every year it's the same," he mused. "I can't take the stress much more." He recalled last year's calamities. Rudolph was supposed to marshal the reindeer, but he must have snorted something strong as his nose was particularly red. He was away with the fairies. Clumsy Blitzen had wrecked 100 or more chimney pots, and as for Dancer, cavorting embarrassingly on the rooftops, Santa felt he had lost control. Not to mention that he was being lobbied by environmental groups to convert the sleigh to electricity. That's all very well, but what about charging points? Are there any in the Sahara? And how about adding the weight of the battery to all the presents? He'd never get off the ground. And what would he do with the reindeer? Well, to be honest, losing them would save a huge phone bill. And those environmentalists would be delighted at the reduction in methane emissions. As he took a long draught of his pint, Santa remembered an ominous brown envelope had arrived that morning. He groped in his pocket and produced the now rather crumpled missive. He tore it open and heaved a great sigh as he read the first sentence. "Dear Mr. Claus, you are required to attend a diversity and inclusion course." Oh no, that'd be those damned elves. They'd been pushing for gender-neutral toilets, and they'd presented Santa with a list of pronouns he should use when addressing them. That was the final straw. Santa decided this would be the last year he would take to the skies loaded with presents. He remembered the good old days, the houses he had enjoyed delivering to. He'd always liked calling at Shady Pines. His mince pie was homemade, and an organically grown carrot for Rudolph. That must have been Mrs. H's doing. Since the children had left home, he didn't call there any more, although he knew Mrs. H's husband still hung his stocking up every Christmas Eve in the vain hope he would find it bulging on Christmas morning. Poor old chap. Santa recalled the letter the hapless Neil sent last year. "Please could I have some dusters and a can of Pledge to help me with my chores?" Then Santa had an idea. Why not build a giant warehouse and get the children to order their toys online? No reindeer to worry about. Admittedly, he'd have to recruit more elves to deliver the toys. But he'd offer the next day delivery. He wouldn't even need to leave the grotto. Now, what would be a good name for such a large business? Something that indicated the store was massive. Ah, he thought, how about Rainforest?
Oh, that's much better, Neil. Something Christmassy that we can all relate to, even if it is tinged with your usual touch of cynicism. And the punchline is a stroke of genius.